It is 8 a.m., and I want to welcome everybody to our first committee meeting of the new academic year. It's exciting to have everybody in the same room. Some in the room may not be aware that last week a large majority of our board met in Louisville for the Governor's Council Post-Secondary Education meeting. Spent Monday and Tuesday in Louisville, heard a couple of really dynamic speakers, and we had time to put our thoughts toward higher education and some of the challenges and opportunities going forward. So it's nice to have a follow-up meeting this week and do some of the business of the university. So without further ado, I will begin our agenda and turn the meeting over to our Academic Affairs Committee Chairman, Regent Ridley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Many of you might notice I pulled out a little black book with some notes in it. I'm not going to read scripture this morning. It's some notes I took last week. But the Academic Affairs Committee is pleased to make a presentation today, and our provost, Dr. Lee, is here. There will be a couple of notes. Number one, we did have one small editorial comment or correction that needs to be made in the agenda, but it is only an editorial correction. And also we have an introduction that is not on your agenda, but we have three items for approval. All of our committee members are here, and I will ask that you vote on that. We do have a consent agenda, so therefore, if I could have a motion, or does anyone want to pull one of the items off of the agenda?
I'm sorry? Yeah, this committee, so...
Oh, I thought we had to put...
We don't support. Have consent at
okay.
Committee meetings.
Oh, sorry. No consent at committee. Pardon me. Right. Dr. Capps is not to school me a little bit. So, we have a... I'll turn it over to Dr. Lee.
Thank you, Regent Ridley. We have two graduate certificates that we would like to present for the committee's consideration this morning, as well as a number of emeriti appointments. A word kind of by way of framing these two graduate certificates. Academic Affairs is looking more and more seriously at the concept of certificates. Certificates provide students with a specific credential. They are smaller, obviously, than various kinds of degree programs. So there are ways of empowering our students to indicate that they've acquired a special skill or a special expertise. We're doing more of these at the graduate level. So you're probably going to see more and more discussion from us around certificates, and we have two for you to consider this morning. One is a graduate certificate in biology, and Dr. Michael Smith from the Department of Biology is here to introduce that to you. So, Michael.
Thank you, Professor. The graduate certificate in biology is a 15-hour program, which puts it at a midway point in their master's of biology, master's of science. The reason, although not limited to, one of the largest targets to this group are Kentucky secondary education teachers. So Kentucky high school teachers who want to teach biology but are currently not certified to do so. It takes 15 credit hours more to do so, or to teach biology, or to teach AP biology. And so oftentimes teachers would enroll in our online master's program, they would quit halfway because they only need those 15 hours. And so this gives them an end point. Also, there's a midway point between the Masters of Science in Biology and the MAE in Biology. So it's so hopefully, when those students want to come back to get their full master's, they need to do it in 5 years. They'll already have a halfway graduate in Western, and they'll hopefully come back here if there's this degree here in Western.
And we think that credentialing along the way to a degree is a very valuable addition to our curriculum.
And just information from the board.
Sure.
How, again, thinking of biology and laboratories and so forth, can you kind of give us just a very small synopsis of how that would work so that we can put knowledge to making this program?
Sure. So some of the same courses that are required for this program are required for our master's program. We have to take biology 500, which is an introduction to graduate recent graduates from. And then they have to take one of our core courses, either biodiversity or biotechnology, and the rest of it they can choose whatever electives they want according to what their interests are. And a lot of people, 18 students have already contacted Western and are interested in enrolling in the program. We have an idea that's about the size of our current face-to-face mastery program in biology. So a significant people, a group of students, many of them teachers, are interested in this program already.
Now, is this a summer program or can they do this?
No, they can do this year-round. This is both online and face-to-face, although most of these teachers are going to teach people taking online courses because they're going to be all over Kentucky.
So you can implement it all over? I mean, not just the graduate.
No, yeah, anybody can take it. So are we...
Yes, Clark.
I think I'm pleased, Provostly, that we're going to do more certificates. It makes sense, but what I like best is that you're able to transfer either into a degree program or some other application. So that's good.
Will these credits be transferable to other universities, say someone from Indiana that wanted to finish their graduate work at Indiana? Or?
Most likely, but that's up to that institution.
Right,
you know,
I understand.
They have their own rules of what counts for life, just like we have our own.
Well, the high quality of our biology and college science and technology, I'm sure that'll be the case.
But trying to make that broad as Michael says, base. That is the receiving institution's decision, but I'd be very surprised if price did not transfer.
Thank you, Dr.
Do we need to act on this one, or?
We do. Okay. Do I have a moment? Thank you. Do we have a motion to act on this approval of this?
So moved.
So moved by Barbara. Same. And Tim. Vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those no?
And the second graduate certificate is a graduate certificate of health education, and I need to own up to all the materials because on the very last sheet, the approval sequence says that this came to the biology department and the Ogden College Graduate Curriculum Committee. It should say that it came through the Department of Public Health and the College of Health and Human Services Curriculum Committee, but we will have that fixed for your meeting. My apologies about the glitch. But Danita Kelly, the Associate Dean of the College of Health and Human Services, is here to say a few words about this. So,
thank you, Provost Lee. Good morning. This health education graduate certificate, Dr. Marilyn Gardner is the proponent for this, and she's not here today. And so I'm happy to share the knowledge that she shared with me about this certificate. And very similar to the certificate offered in biology, this is one that students can use if you are currently in the Master's of Public Health, or it can be done separately. Two of the courses are already required for the Master's of Public Health, and they also have electives that they must take, and so these could be a part of their electives. But this also can, as I mentioned, a standalone certificate, and there are health educators across the state and across the nation, and for most of those types of positions, many employers like someone to Certified Health Education Specialist credential, which requires a national examination, and you must meet certain criteria to do so. And so this certificate helps fulfill all or part of those requirements, depending on what other degrees that individuals have completed. And there is anticipated growth that is projected for this. And on the proposal, it identifies about 13% through 2024. In Kentucky, it's going to be, they project about 17% growth. And the median salary is over $44,000 for health education and specialists and community workers. And they work in public schools, health departments, and in particular, they really try and help identify and assess health needs and design and implement programs to improve the health of the communities in which they are located.
Thank you. Can we respond to any questions?
Yes, the who needs that? I like what you're doing, but I just wonder who needs that health education specialist? Who takes that test? You noted that people who need academic preparation for the CHES exam, is that a part of a degree program or is that something freestanding? Or?
It is a freestanding, but they do have certain criteria for that, for it to be eligible to take the exam.
So in certain fields would have to take that?
It's very common that folks have some degree in public health, but there's a grouping of those, but they also have to meet certain learning outcome criteria, 7 different standards, and those are in this certificate.
Anything else that we can respond to about this, this proposal?
Chairman Bale and I were just discussing, just so we're again clear. So if someone can get a degree in health in the field, and then this is overlaid on top of the degree.
Yes, this is.
Or they can just get the certificate, right?
Correct. Correct. But they do think that if so, their current students may want this, but also they feel it will be good for the workforce development for some who may be already in the workforce, but who want some added skills and to add a credential to give them new opportunities.
I had already thought about this comment before you teed that up, but I didn't pay her to say that. But in our meeting, in our post-secondary education governor's conference, there was stress, and you all have seen it in the press, about workforce development and jobs, and some negative things said about education. However, the positive was is we have the realization that we've got to provide a working population, a population educated to work. And I think this is a prime example, and the reason I ask the question, if you don't have to have a degree, but you can get a certificate, that's the entry level to get a 4-year degree, effectively, right? And if you have a degree, you can get a certification on top of that, right?
That is correct. They would need a baccalaureate degree to be eligible for the graduate.
That's right. But again, it's additional training is what is being stressed by the governor and all that. What I want to point out, as we're in this academic committee meeting, we are performing, and sometimes negative press is that we're doing something wrong and we've got to correct it to be able to be there. And my point is that we are ahead of the curve by looking at these programs, all of these two excellent examples today providing workforce ready. Yes.
Regent Ridley, one of the things I am also pleased to see is that not only is this increased flexibility at pursuing a degree, we'll continue to urge folks to think about stackability. So how do you take 1, 2, 3 certificates, combine them into a graduate degree program? So it's a combination of flexibility, but something that also leads toward a master's degree, which I think is the direction that we're heading.
Another practical example of what this board did, 2 or 3 years ago, we created, in response to workplace needs in healthcare, we created a certificate program for medical assistant. These are people that go in the room with presumably a physician or a provider and operate the computer to put the material in so the provider can pay attention to the patient. It's an evolving need in the healthcare world, and we responded to that several years ago, and I think those jobs are plentiful and getting more so by the day. So another very visible example of how these certificate programs can be very valuable and responsive to the workplace needs. So,
probably if you would also broaden our knowledge just a moment on... I like to talk about these in committee meetings because this is a working committee. For someone to get a degree that we were just talking about and advance with a certificate, they have to have general education classes. Is that not correct?
All baccalaureate students here at WKU are required to complete what we call a colonnade program, which is our designation for a general education program, yes. And for us, it's about 39 hours total.
And of that 39 hours, what are some of the courses to get a general education? Just broaden our knowledge on what some of those things might be.
Well, there is a core requirement of basic skills, and that's public speaking, writing courses in English. There's a history course that's required as a piece of that. But the idea is to build fundamental skills in that component of the Colonnade program that you'll then apply to be successful as you move through your major, move through your minor, and move into other parts of the Colonnade program. And as far as the president's term, it is kind of stackable. You move through it and develop skills outside your major. There's a component of it that looks at a kind of systems, and you have to take courses that look at how things work across a number of different systems. But the idea is to build skills and to expose you to other disciplines, other ways of thinking that will be valuable to you in your major, but also be valuable to you as a lifelong learner after you graduate and move out into the professional world.
You might also say a good citizen of the Commonwealth.
A good citizen of the Commonwealth, absolutely.
And of those types of programs, broad general education, some of those are elective, are they not?
It's kind of in the nature of general education that there are some required courses, but for the most part, they're elective courses within categories. There are some majors that will require specific Colonnade courses or specific general education courses, but the philosophy of general education is exactly that. This is your opportunity to explore. This is your opportunity to get exposed to a variety of disciplines, lots of different ways of thinking, build some skills, like in math, which is one of those required core courses, that maybe you might shy away from if you were left totally your own designs. But we try to strike a balance between giving you some direction in the Colonnade program in general education, while at the same time giving you some latitude to pursue some different interests.
So I might show how long ago I was in college, but one thing, I was in the science of biology and biophysics, and I spent 3.5 years studying very much to have a job and do that, and on the last semester I realized there was a whole department in religion, art appreciation, and so those types of things to broaden your, and again, I traveled extensively because of art appreciation. That class was fantastic for that reason. My point is that if a student is here for a four-year education, our job is not only to get them job ready, but to make them a good, rounded citizen with good social skills. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
Thank you.
And I would probably add, too, that this is part of what makes an American higher education experience unique. Other countries around the world don't necessarily have quite this kind of requirement, but this is part of what makes an American college education special. I think it's part of the reason why students literally come from around the world to have the experience of an American college education.
I think, John, a very good discussion, and to bring it full circle. These are graduate certificates, but I'm thinking the opportunities for undergraduate certificates also may address some of what we heard. I think what we heard last week was we've got to make sure students also can get a job. But it's our challenge to hold on to our strong liberal arts tradition and that well-rounded education. And so even undergraduate certificates are very helpful in letting students do that.
And I would like to say that the faculty regent made it an eloquent case for the liberal arts yesterday at the University Senate meeting. It was a wonderful statement, and I appreciated what she had to say very much.
Well, I think it's very important as we go down this path of looking to the vision and strategic planning that we not stop and look over our shoulder and see what we have done and what successes we have had. And I don't want someone outside anywhere, whether it's political, non-political, to criticize the good job that we're doing and the jobs and the students that we're producing. As I said in the last meeting, we are a first class at a very low cost, and we want to continually promote that to these parents and students that are prospective students, and we are getting people ready for the workforce. So, with that said, is there any other comments on the Certificate of Health Education? If not, I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
So moved and seconded, certainly, and a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. Motion passes, and we'll move on to our next meeting. And then we have approval of emeritus appointments, a very exceptional thing to do, and hopefully you will handle that.
Yes, be delighted to. Obviously, the core of the quality of this institution is the work of faculty members. probably particularly faculty members who have made a long-term commitment to the institution, and we recognize those folks with emeritus status. There are five folks for you to consider here this morning, and I believe you have some information about the work that each one of them has done. Two of them are with us this morning, and I would particularly like to introduce those. One is Dr. Dale Smith, who is right back here next to Dean Chumber. Dale is a member of what the social work folks call the Fab Five. Once upon a time, there was a time of troubles in the social work program. But the Fab Five came in and kind of took control of some of those issues, got the program going in a much more effective and workable direction. And Dr. Smith was one of the folks who played a crucial role in getting the social work program going in the direction it's been so successful for it ever since. He has historically taught some of the toughest courses in the curriculum, statistics, research methods, social welfare policy. He has a reputation as a demanding instructor, but he is also one of those faculty members that graduates ask about. Graduates remember because he's had that kind of impact on their role. He's a kind of a role model for social work instruction, for social work practice, and he's been a wonderful colleague in that program over the years. President Caboni and I had a chance to meet with the accreditors from the Council of Social Work Education this week. They gave us an informal report, not their final report, but they are clearly very enthusiastic about the work we're doing here. And Dale Smith is a big part of the reason why that program was so successful. So, Dale, wonderful to have you here this morning. Gary Verreel and Susan Wesley are also receiving emeritus status out of the social work program. Tom Noser from Economics is not with us this morning, but a man who's really celebrated for the quality of his teaching in some very difficult courses over a long time. Joanne Ryan is also being recommended for emeritus status. She taught in broadcasting, did a whole lot of work as an advisor for a long time. I have to admit I'm a little startled to be sitting here and recommending one of my former students for emeritus status. I'm also very proud to have the opportunity to do that. Finally, I would also ask you to recommend Connie Foster, Dean of University Libraries, retired Dean of University Libraries, for the title of Dean Emeritus. Connie was here for over 40 years. She was almost constantly in a leadership position in university libraries. And this is at a time when the work and the nature and the structure of university libraries has undergone a dramatic transformation, a transformation that is by no means complete yet. But Connie played a crucial role in stewarding the library through this transition. And between 2011 and 2017, she served as dean of the university library. She retired June 30th, but her work was impactful and ongoing. She gave me a piece of advice in her last months that I am so glad I took, and I'll just leave it at that. But Connie has done some wonderful work as Dean of University Libraries, and we would like to propose her for Dean Emeritus status. And I would like to ask for indulgence to do one introduction, and that is Connie's successor is Suzanne DeVries. Suzanne DeVries is a new university librarian. She is in school colors here, and she has joined us from Eastern Michigan University. She and I have had several conversations about the library and some important next steps to build on Connie's very good work. I think Suzanne is going to be a really dynamic addition to the campus and to our conversation about quality and strategic planning going forward. So I certainly wanted to make sure that you all had a chance to meet her here this morning. Suzanne?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Well, this is certainly a wonderful motion to ask this board to present these individuals that have remained so dedicated and so positive and also so much to this university.
Yeah.
And so with that, I'll ask for a motion to appoint this emeritus status.
So moved.
So moved. Second to Barbara. Do I hear any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No.
Thank you all very much.
And Chairman, that's the report from the Academic Committee.
Well, thank you very much.